Welcome, literary citizens, writing workshoppers, collaborators, creative instigators, word sprinters, and all-around writing teammates. I'm Grant Faulkner, executive director of NaNoWriMo, and I use these words of welcome this week because our special guest is a very special NaNoWriMo success story. Alexis Daria was one of our super municipal liaisons, a volunteer in our New York region who led write-ins during NaNoWriMo and developed a writing community in New York City throughout the year. She'd been a municipal liaison, or ML as we call them, since 2006, and then she published her first novel a few years ago, and she's become a best-selling romance author since then. And I am with my very community-oriented co-host, Brooke Warner. And you know, Brooke, I always say it takes a village to write a novel, but sometimes writers don't recognize the value of a community because writing is such a solitary endeavor. You even developed a powerful writing community through She Writes, so I thought it would be interesting if we each gave a list of the three reasons why we think a writer should participate in a writing community, and no worries if we have overlapping reasons.
Okay, excellent. I love that. Number one for me for sure would be the support. I mean, that is a big deal when you're choosing to write a book. You know, a lot of people are impressed with the notion of that, but a lot of people don't get it. You know, they don't understand why you would want to dedicate hours and hours and hours to a pursuit like that, that may not have a payoff. People, you know, who get a lot of flack from their family and friends about all kinds of things for this. You know, I hear from people like that a lot, like being a loner, being obsessed with their story, you know, or this question of like, when are you going to finish will come up a lot. So support and community is a big deal in finding your tribe of like-minded people. And then my second one would be inspiration. Just because I'm inspired by community, I think community generates inspiration. I love in my own community seeing people's wins and their achievements, and then also specifically in the sisterhood of She Writes, how the writers champion one another. And it's probably one of the most heartwarming things I see actually on a regular basis there is just how this particular sisterhood celebrates the success of other people in the community. It's very heart sustaining for me. And I think that you can see that, you know, over other communities as well. So that's a big deal. And then the third one for me would be connection. Community is all about finding your tribe. And obviously we need connection now more than ever. And I do think online communities are pretty awesome. You know, certainly places where meaningful connections have always been made, and right now, maybe more so than ever, just how it's the primary way that we're able to convene and get together. So as we've been doing since the dawn of time, but maybe in almost more meaningful ways, because it's so easy to get together over time and space and, you know, to do these things online, as much as I miss being in person. So how about you, Grant? What are your three things?
Yeah, I was one of those. Thank you for sharing, by the way. I was one of those avoidant writers who was either too shy or insecure or something to participate in a writing community for years. So I'm a latecomer to writing communities, which actually makes me a big evangelist because I'm a convert. So here are just three reasons, I think, on that note. Number one, you might feel too shy or insecure to join a writing group or attend an open mic or read or go to a NaNoWriMo write-in. But here's the thing. By going, you'll empower yourself, and the odds are likely there will be another very shy and insecure person or people there who will welcome you, or there might be extroverted and very secure people who will welcome you. But I'm guessing that you will be welcomed if you go to some sort of writing event. Just jump in and just show up. Number two, the more rooted you are in a community, I think the more fuel you'll get to do other things that might inhibit you, like submitting stories or querying agents or entering contests or reading in public or joining other communities, because the writing world is like one big ecosystem that has a lot of smaller ecosystems within it. And a community helps you stretch yourself. And that goes for your own writing as well, which leads me to number three. The more you participate in a community, the more you'll learn, whether it's getting feedback on a story and thinking about how to revise it better, learning by hearing about another's writing challenges or breakthroughs, or finding out about opportunities such as a writing retreat or classes or events like NaNoWriMo or She Writes. I can't tell you how many things I've heard about from my fellow writers. In fact, I wanted to mention this. The number one reason that people participate in NaNoWriMo is because a friend invited them to join. So much of the learning happens through our friends. So don't doubt the value of your writing village.
Yeah, I feel really lucky to have the She Writes community because it's so dynamic, and we have all of our authors in a Facebook group that we maintain, and they attend each other's events. obviously in person and now in Zoom, and they blurb each other's books and they spread the word about each other's events. They partner together in things like panels. They go to book fairs together. So, I mean, the list goes on and on, and including like sharing information and advice and wins and things that have failed, which is also really supportive. So sometimes an author will ask me, you know, what's the best way that they can be part of a community? And in my mind, it's pretty simple. It's like really literally just show up. And if it's online, go to the thing, comment, you know, be a voice in the mix. It might take you a little while. Sometimes you have to lurk until you feel like you're part of that community. But online and social media just gives you such an easy entry, because all you really have to do is say, hey, that's awesome, I love that, or ask an occasional question. I think the biggest thing is just not to overthink it.
Absolutely. Definitely don't overthink it and just show up. As you said, that's the way to do it. Even if you just sit in the back corner and start engaging as a witness, my guess is that as with most things like this, you'll start to engage and feel comfortable very quickly. And I also want to note how I've seen the NaNoWriMo community operate as a force for accountability and motivation in so many ways. Accountability can be, you know, as simple as announcing your writing project to others, whether that's on social media or, you know, just telling a friend or your mother, because once you tell others that you're doing something, then suddenly you've set an expectation for yourself because other people's eyes are on you. I actually say this is the best way to do things like quit smoking, for instance. It's a good source of peer pressure. And then I've heard so many NaNoWriMo writers who say they've kept writing through the tough parts and dug in deeper to reach the finish line because they felt the galvanizing force of writing with what can feel like a whole world of writers. Sometimes people will get the motivation to keep going simply by reading the NaNoWriMo hashtag on Twitter or by reading posts in our forums. And so they're motivated just by complete strangers, but you just by being with others or seeing their activity, it can spur you on. And so I guess I just want to say that being part of a writing community can happen in many different ways. So I urge people to try to find what works for them and to just try things for the sake of trying them.
Yeah. And with that, I want to remind people to sign up for NaNoWriMo at NaNoWriMo.org and participate in its community of writers. I know for myself, I really did feel that way. You know, I felt that vibe of the hundreds of thousands of people that I was writing with. I knew that when I was sitting down to write in November, many people, in fact, were out there writing, and it was incredibly motivating. So I'm eager to hear more about Alexis's creative process and her very wizened NaNoWriMo tips. So here we go. We'll talk about that and more right after this break.
Hey, Brooke, if you could be an expert in any topic, what would it be?
Let me think about that. Probably the art of wine pairing, how to cut kittens' claws, and maybe how to fix any problem gone wrong with my car.
Well, I'm sure you could find at least one of those topics on the Great Courses Plus. If you'd chosen something a little more learned, you could find anything you want to be an expert in, but I'll call the producer and mention the car fixing thing and see what we might do for you.
I appreciate that, Grant. And I do know that the Great Courses Plus has thousands of informative, engaging lectures that you can stream from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, and I've been leaning on these during the pandemic because, you know, even though I have an occasional social distance coffee shop meetup or a walk around my neighborhood, I am decidedly homebound more than usual. And this is the time of year I'm in full novel writing immersion mode as a way to get ready to write. So I've been listening to this great course called Rise of the Novel, which goes through the entire history of the novel. It's really cool, from the beginning of the novel until now. And so it's been nice learning a little bit about Don Quixote's rambling adventures while I'm cooped up in my unrambling adventure. How about you, Brooke? What's the last thing you watched or listened to?
Well, in line with my random aspirations for expertise, I watched part but not all of Capitalism versus Socialism, in part because I'm editing a book on this topic right now, and I've been blown away by how much there is to know about the tension between these two models of government and how that plays into the current political nightmare we're facing right now. However, this course has 24 sessions, and so I'm just making my way little by little. I have only watched three, but it's super relevant, very enlightening, as are all of the Great Courses Plus programs.
Yeah, we're happy that we're back to promoting the Great Courses Plus because it is truly great. It gives you access to professors and experts from top universities and institutions around the world. And Brooke, you probably remember that you can download the Great Courses Plus app to learn on your own time on any device.
I do. And it's downloaded. Check. And here comes the call to action, which is the Great Courses Plus is offering our listeners an entire month trial of unlimited access for free.
Woohoo. And let me remind listeners and you that this special offer won't last long and Brooke might not sing the offer again. And I'm so glad I get to say these words again. We have a special URL, Brooke. So will you do the honors and feel free to sing? That was very nice.
You bet, Grant. thegreatcoursesplus.com/rightminded. Don't wait. thegreatcoursesplus.com/rightminded.
That's officially a jingle. Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited to welcome our next guest, Alexis Daria, who I've known for a long time as a NaNoWriMo participant and a municipal liaison. She was actually a New York City municipal liaison dating back to 2006 until just a few years ago when she handed the reins over. And she's the notable owner of New York City's famous baby blue Viking helmet, which appears a lot on Instagram and other social media channels during NaNoWriMo, and I love it. And I think she's written... Last time I checked, she was well over 600,000 words. So I'm just going to say, Alexis, that you've written close to 1 million words over the years in NaNoWriMo. And some of those words are now published in Alexis's debut novel, Take the Lead, which was a 2018 Rita Award winner for Best First Book. And she just published You Had Me at Ola, which has been getting all kinds of attention. It's wonderful to open up a newsletter and see it featured in a review. And it was a New York Times Editor's Choice staff pick, an Amazon Best Book of the Month, a Target Diverse Book Club pick, Library Reads top pick, and was on the Indie Next Great Reads list in August. So congrats and welcome, Alexis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I like to say that it takes a village to write a novel, and NaNoWriMo is as much of a writing community as it is a writing event. And you were a municipal liaison for several years. So I was wondering if, for listeners who don't know what a municipal liaison or a write-in is, if you could describe it and then tell what inspired you to be a municipal liaison and why you think it's good for writers to find a community.
I always described being an ML, as we called it, because municipal liaison is a little bit wordy.
It's hard to say.
So we MLs would describe ourselves as community organizers and cheerleaders and, you know, just all around event planners as well, I guess. Although this year, of course, it's going to look a little bit different. And I know that the New York City team is already on it and they are going to do a wonderful job. One of the things that municipal liaisons do is host write-ins. You can do write-ins online or you can do write-ins in person. And in New York City, we have always done lots of in-person events in previous years. And what goes on at a write-in is pretty much what it sounds like. You get together and you write. People bring laptops, notebooks. Some people have brought typewriters in the past. It's always fun. And you just try to write together. So we'll do word sprints where we'll set a timer and everybody kind of puts their head down and just focuses for however long. Or we will talk about our stories or commiserate about the writing process. And those are all reasons why it's important for writers to find a community, because this is a very solitary activity. It's something that happens so much in our own heads and just us alone in front of the keyboard. But if you can have other people who are going through it with you at the same time and who understand what it's like, because sometimes those closest to us don't 100% understand, even though they might try, it just makes it just a little bit easier to do.
Well, Alexis, one of the great benefits of people attending write-ins is just to keep churning out the words. And I'm wondering what your own personal take is on writer's block, since you've written so many words during NaNoWriMo. And, you know, if you do get stuck, how do you get over that? And how do you help other people get over it?
So first of all, I don't love the phrase writer's block because it makes it sound even worse to me. In terms of getting stuck, I spent a lot of time stuck this year. I think a lot of us have felt very stuck this year for lots of reasons. So I actually just made a list for myself. And for the readers, I did not know that you were going to ask me this question. So for me, this is how I got unstuck. One was to stop telling myself I was stuck, because then I was creating that story for myself that I was stuck and then I wasn't getting out of it. So I had to stop telling myself that. I also asked for help. I spoke to my editor and I also talked to my writing coach. I made a list, which is in Brave the Page, which you put out, Grant, with Rebecca. Great book.
Oh, cool.
So I made a list of 10 different things that could happen in the scene that I was stuck with. And then I actually had to consider all of those options and try writing them. When in doubt, print it out and get outside. So one of the things that has really helped me lately is to just print out whatever section of the book I'm working on and walk over to the Hudson River, sit down with a blanket and some different colored pens, and just work on those pages. So all I have to do is look at what's in front of me and read it and make notes on it. And it makes it sound and seem less scary. Another thing that can help, I think, is writing something for fun, which I really resisted for a long time. But I think a short story or a fanfic or even just jotting down ideas about another writing project can, I think, help you get moving with whatever you're feeling stuck on. And then this one is specifically if you're published and maybe doing stuff like this, to look at how long it's been since your last event and when your next one is, because I think that sometimes doing the promo, for me, it makes it hard for me to write. So I have to consider that as well.
Gosh, I feel so lucky that we got the benefits of your very fresh list, which was that is so helpful. And I think it's such a good thing to do. And especially that first item of being blocked is something that you sometimes perpetuate by saying that you're blocked. And I'm curious, since this is going to air when a lot of people are getting ready to write their novels during NaNoWriMo. And I'm very intrigued because I love the advice that you give and that I see on Twitter. I've loved it for years. And I read that you had written 4 full-length manuscripts. And then you sat down to write Dance With Me. And the thing that changed, I guess, your approach was that you used Story Genius, a book by Lisa Krohn. And I've heard you mention that book on several occasions, and I keep meaning to buy it, so it might happen now. But since we're here to help people get ready to write their novels, can you tell us about your evolution, I guess, as a planner, if you were ever a pantser, and then what role Story Genius has played in your novel preparation?
Oh, well, I was a pantser for many, many years while I was doing NaNoWriMo. So I started doing Nano in 2004, but I didn't actually finish a book until 2013.
Interesting.
And that was because I was not planning and I just didn't know how to get to the end. So 2013 was the year that I said, come hell or high water, I am reaching the end of this story during November. And I did. But that book was kind of a mess. And so was the next book I wrote, although I did reach the end of it. So I really did have to teach myself about story structure and outlining and different processes. And I'm still always learning about it. And I think the best advice is to take what works for you and scrap the rest, because everybody is different. Every writer is different and everybody's process is going to be different. And I think sometimes even if you find a process that works for you, it doesn't work for every book. So you have to be open to making those changes and being flexible. As for Story Genius, that was something that I found toward the end of writing Take the Lead, which was my debut published novel, even though it was not the first book I wrote. It was the fourth. Yeah, it was the fourth full-length novel I wrote that I reached the end on. And Story Genius helps because it really is a step-by-step method. I also combine it with Romancing the Beat by Gwen Hayes, because I am a romance writer and she really breaks down the structure of a romance in a very clear way. The book is very helpful in figuring out your character's misbelief and making sure that your story is tied to their emotional journey. And that makes for a stronger book, I think.
Well, I read a post where you advised people to challenge their self-imposed creative restrictions, all of their I can'ts. And that is so much part of NaNoWriMo, of course, and such a big part of the role that you would have played as a municipal liaison. So what's been your biggest struggle as a writer? How have you overcome it? And what do you do when other people say, I can't? What do you help them think about in those moments?
For me, it's about reframing it and also kind of popping the bubble, so to speak. So I have definitely had those I can't thoughts. I can't do this. Why do I think I can do this, et cetera? And the way for me to move past that is to go, hold on a second, you know, with myself, talking to myself. Is that really true? And to reframe it, to think of all the reasons why I can do it. In terms of writing a book, when I was thinking, why do I think I can do this? And I was like, well, because I've done NaNoWriMo for X number of years, of course. And I am a, you know, reasonably creative and smart person. So other people manage to write books too. So yeah, sure, I can do this. And it's coming up with those I can statements to counter the I can'ts. And sometimes it might help to reach out to someone you know who is maybe going to be a little bit better at remembering all the things that you can do when you're stuck in that spiral of I can't. But I think reframing it and going, is that really true, this thing that I'm saying about myself? So when I was thinking, I'm stuck, I can't do this, I would just have to change that and just be like, I'm figuring it out. I'm not stuck. I'm just still figuring it out. And then actually do the work to figure it out.
I love that. I love that exercise of reframing. And, you know, I'm sure you feel like this as an ML that, you know, in talking to so many writers over the years, you hear many different kinds of I can'ts. And one of the I can'ts that I've heard from writers is how they don't take themselves seriously as a writer, or they don't take the act of writing itself, you know, as seriously as I think they want to. And sometimes I hear this from genre writers and oftentimes with romance writers that they, you know, just because it's sometimes seen as a less serious genre by society, I guess, and they internalize a judgment, and I think they feel less empowered as a result. And so I really appreciated how you showed the hard work that goes into creating soap operas in your new novel, and how telenovelas are designed around big emotions. And I think we need those big emotions in our stories because we obviously feel them in our lives. So were you thinking of the parallels with romance novels when you were writing You Had Me at Hola, or what role did romance novels have in that?
I think it was something that I understood through doing my research and, you know, also just being a person in the world who watches TV. You know, we know how these shows get looked at, but I used to watch soaps and looking into just how hard they work. They go through like 100 script pages a day. You know, they don't get outtakes and things like that. They come on, they rehearse it, and then they run it through and they are expected to get it. It's really grueling work, but you know, it has this reputation, but at the same time, people love them. You know, there are people who are watching some soaps for 40 years. My grandmother used to watch telenovelas. She probably still does, actually, every night, every single night she had to watch her novelas. So, you know, and with romance readers are voracious readers. They will read all types of things and just consistent readers. So obviously these types of storytelling resonate with viewers and readers and audiences. You know, and also I know just from writing romances that they're hard work. It's hard to tell an emotionally satisfying romance that you believe at the end. So it is hard to see these forms of storytelling get denigrated the way that they do. But I think as an author and as a creator, you just have to stand firm in knowing that you are putting your best work out there and that you're working hard. And that just because somebody comes along and says that it's trashy or whatever, it's not true, you know, and it's not great to have to pull out the money numbers, but romance is a $1 billion a year industry. So I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah, so true. Well, in closing, Alexis, we're sending people off into NaNoWriMo here. You know, we're hoping that a lot of our listeners are going to participate. We know that there are a lot of alum coming back, and so we're trying to put some wind in their sails. And on that note, we're wondering, what is the best piece of writing advice you've ever gotten, or your favorite piece of writing advice, and maybe especially for people going into NaNoWriMo in November?
The best writing advice I have received, which is a little odd considering how tied to my process I am, but it's, don't be so precious with your process. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be in the perfect location. You don't have to be in the perfect mindset. The words coming out onto the screen or onto the page don't have to be perfect. You'll get there. You'll work on it again. Just keep going.
I love that, Alexis. Thank you so much for imparting your wisdom.
Thank you, and good luck to everyone writing.
We'll be right back with today's book talk after this short break.
Brooke, I wanted to tell you about this little writing event that I'd like to tell people about because I think it might help them get inspired to do the heavy lifting on their writing projects. It's cool because it's produced hundreds of amazing books, including bestsellers, and thousands of people do it each year. And beyond realizing their creative dreams, many people just say it's a lot of fun. And it's free, which is cool.
It sounds like just the kind of event that many writers need, Grant. How can I find out more about it?
Well, you can go to nanowrimo.org. It's kind of a silly name, NaNoWriMo, which is an acronym for National Novel Writing Month, which happens every November. And the challenge is to write 50,000 words of a novel in a month. The idea is that a goal and a deadline as a creative midwife, and not to write your novel or memoir someday, but to do it today. Also, there's an amazing community of people who participate both online and in person. So it's like a rollicking party and a writing boot camp all at once.
And why the heck does it take place in November?
Because if you can write a novel during November, then you can write a novel anytime. Also, November is a dark and rainy month for many. So it's a good month to stay inside and write. And many people have leftover Halloween candy, which is known to fuel novel writing.
And you said memoirists can participate?
Yeah, a memoir is just a novel shelved in the nonfiction section by my definition. The main thing is to write, to banish your inner editor and focus on getting a first draft done because you can't edit a blank page.
That's amazing, Grant. I am going to sign up for this thing called NaNoWriMo.
It's not a newly discovered eel. It's not one of Jupiter's moons. It's not a mountain outside of Kathmandu. It's a novel writing event waiting for you at NaNoWriMo.org. Sign up now and start planning your novel. Welcome back, everybody, for this week's book pick, which I'm actually cheating a little bit this week. I'm going to give you, I guess a website pick of the week. And I mentioned this because at NaNoWriMo, we just created a whole hub that addresses everything we just talked about today about communities and writing groups. And the whole page and all these resources we collected are to help people set up a writing group and to do it effectively. So it's a really amazing array of resources that we've collected over the years and that we really thought about. How do we help people form writing groups successfully, whether it's online? You know, we have writing groups on the website or our forums, or in person, you know, like if it's a write-in or if it's an ongoing writing group when you meet with your friends for feedback. And I've personally been I've been involved in a lot of different writing groups for feedback and critique, and it's amazing how hard it is to get a successful writing group going. In fact, all of mine have basically failed because I'm not in one right now, and I want to be. So as part of that page, you know, there's even a quiz to see what kind of writing group is best for you. And then there's a guide that includes sections on community agreements and what technology to use and writing activities. And, you know, there are questions to address, like how will the meetings be structured, or will someone be in charge of facilitating, and what level of commitment is expected, and what happens if members can't attend regularly. And one of the crucial questions that we address also is how should members give feedback? And this is really at the center of at least a writing group designed around feedback. Sometimes people don't think about asking for a certain type of feedback. You know, at different stages of our writing, we need different types of feedback, and it's really important to spell that out to the people giving feedback. So anyway, this is all to say, there's like, we try to address everything we possibly can in setting up your own writing group, and I hope you'll check out this page on our website.
Awesome. And that will be accessible through the homepage, Grant?
Yeah, it's accessible through the writing groups page, and I'll even just give you a little nanowrimo.org/writing-groups-support.
Awesome. Thanks for that. And thank you, everybody. Right Minded is a weekly podcast, which you can find pretty much anywhere. But we also ask that you subscribe because then you'll get it into your feed automatically. So try that out this week. If you don't already, rate us, give us a review and all of that good stuff. And we're thrilled to be here every week in your queue. And we'll see you next week.